found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's chip the head.
In my gravity boots, I'm stuck walking the hole with a pounding in my skull. Ain't nobody knows which way the solar wind blows. Better than a man being blown.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
And we've got two special guests today. Josiah.
Hello.
And Trevor.
Hi.
And Scott. No, not Scott.
Scott's not here.
Shut up, Scott. Shut up. Get out of here, Scott.
So Josiah and Trevor are from the Geekiverse.
If you remember that interview we had with Pete like a long time ago, I think it was last week.
Yeah, right. And they both have different functions. In there, they write different blogs and podcasts.
That's right.
And Josiah, you were just telling me that you do the podcast, the Geek Got Game, and also you write a lot about Star Wars Rebels and Gotham.
That's
and
right.
Then Trevor, you have the podcast Walking Red podcast.
Yep.
And then you write about Walking Dead.
It has nothing to do with the hair color.
Nothing.
Just a little bit.
Nothing.
But not really at all.
And in Skyrim, so.
Yeah.
Like the 2011 Skyrim?
Some of that. And then.
Sure.
You're not a versionist?
No. More specifically, the one that just came out.
Skyrim Remastered. When did that come out?
2 days ago.
Oh, nice.
On the 28th. No, and? 1 day ago? What is today?
Saturday.
Today is the 29th.
It came out on Thursday.
Yeah, Trevor's writing the review for that. I'm writing one for Titanfall 2, so we have a lot of video games over there, a lot of movies, everything.
Yeah, tons of stuff.
Lots of fun.
All sorts of stuff, but is it grumpy?
Well, there's one.
One part of it is.
Yeah.
And he's not here, so we could talk so much trash about him, too.
The grumpy geek.
Oh, you just got the parent glasses look where they look down.
Over the glasses.
That's when you know you're in trouble.
That's like the librarian look.
Of the grumpy geek.
The librarian.
Well, so you guys are very active in the podcast world, and you guys also have your own web content that you keep pushing out. And obviously, Dave met you, most of you, at the Buffalo Comic Con.
It was just such great times. We met Robbie from the Artful Gremlins. We met he actually introduced me to you guys.
Right. Robbie's awesome.
Robbie is awesome. And yes. and this is going to be our second off-ball non-Star Trek episode. And that we're kind of moving forward with. We started with episode 1 with Robbie from the Geekiverse.
The Phantom Menace. We're sorry.
But we hope it was entertaining anyway.
It was a great episode. Trevor and I listened to it the other day, kind of prep for this.
Nice.
Learned a lot.
Knew what you were in for.
Prep is good. And then
the most, I think, startling revelation, though, was that you saw Phantom Menace 7 times in theaters.
I haven't gotten hate mail for that yet.
Not yet. I haven't saved to draft.
It's on the way.
No, I'm just kidding.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Speaking of hate mail.
Well, let's not get into that now.
Okay.
Attack of the Clones obviously was the sequel to Phantom Menace.
Was it?
I had a revelation. You know,
when you were rewatching this?
I was rewatching. I was like, the prequels are almost like, you know, when you fall in love with somebody and you're just like totally into them. And this one, you first saw the first New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi. I mean, you had great dates. Now you're moving in with each other. And then you find out that your girlfriend.
Been 20 years?
You find your girlfriend and boyfriend, your husband, your spouse, your wife, you know, they have those habits. you know, they just do things that drive you crazy.
Like yeah.
You find out he farts really obnoxious smells. She leaves her makeup everywhere. All this stuff. And you're just like, oh, you know, it used to be so magical. What happened? And this is how I sort of feel about the prequels, you know? It's like you want to love it.
That's
you want
to
love it.
Put it. It really is. I like that. I've never heard that explanation about it before.
Yeah.
I might be like a prequels apologist. Obviously, I'm a huge
sweet. We've got a prequels apologist. But before we get too much more into episode two, as you said, you've both heard our first episode. We kind of gave our how we came to Star Wars, why we love it, because we don't want to come off as the Star Trek podcast that hates Star Wars. We love Star Wars. It's just these are the hard ones, and we're kind of trying to do it in chronological order, ending with Rogue One coming in January because we'll probably see it mid-December and time it takes to put things out. But where did you guys start with Star Wars, and what made it so big in your lives?
Yeah, sir, Trevor.
Well, I started that's like one of – I have like horrible memory. Horrible, horrible memory. But I always have
Did you block it out?
I think some of it I did. Some of it was just like horrible. And
all that
I can't
abuse.
all of that horrible – no, it was
– Well, you were beaten by a stormtrooper. Did they ever miss?
They always
all the
miss.
Time.
That's why I don't have any scars. I have zero scars because the stormtroopers just can't hit me.
That's great.
But I have just like these weird memories from when I was like really little. And I don't remember how old I was, maybe like 10 years old. But I do remember like sitting at my grandparents' house watching episode 4 where the stormtroopers are riding on the... on the Dewbacks. I couldn't remember the name for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just remember, like, seeing that and, like, oh, what are these giant lizard things? Because at the time I was, like, super into, like, the Crocodile Hunter and stuff like that. So I was like, oh, man, what are these giant things? And that's kind of
not
how
stingrays.
No,
stingrays.
Rip Steve Irwin.
Yeah, yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yes.
But, yeah, so that's how I kind of started. And I got super into it after I watched that. I can remember, like, going to see episode 3. With my grandpa and my brother, and we were just like so pumped to go see it.
Right.
And I mean, just that kind
of. So that captured your imagination right there.
Yeah, and even like after that, I can remember like drawing stormtrooper helmets, or like how a lot of clone troopers had like different style helmets.
Right.
And
right.
I remember I had like a sketchbook where like 3 or 4 pages was just different style. Stormtrooper helmets that I could think of that I like made up. So
you were very into the visual aspect of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which it is. All of it's very visually stunning.
You know what's funny? One thing I did not mention whenever we were talking about, how we fell in love with Star Wars. My favorite Star Wars video game growing up was TIE Fighter. It was the space flight simulator where you were the Empire and you shot down X wings, Y wings, A wings. It was the best thing ever. It was the best feeling being the bad guy.
Right.
It's kind of why I fell in love with video games. But I played this game so much. My brother played this game so much. I had auditory hallucinations of Star Wars music, the sound of TIE fighters, and the sound of blaster fire coming from the TIE fighters. Because I would be sitting in the living room reading, trying to do school homework or whatever, and I'd hear it, and then like. My brother wasn't playing the game, was he?
Can I just go on? I'm sorry. I'm going to like interrupt this whole flow of this. I had auditory hallucinations too in my room. And when I was a little boy, I had a poster and I loved Darth Vader. Like he was I thought he was the best. I had a giant poster of Darth Vader.
So you're Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Do you keep the helmet in ashes?
But my hair is fantastic.
Not curly though.
But I would hear him breathe. I would hear him breathe in my room when I was alone.
That's a little nuts.
Just because of, like, when Luke hears him breathing in on Dagobah.
Yeah, and on Empire.
Man, yeah, that would creep me out.
Yeah, it did creep me out. And I would – I actually – Well, it's a different thing. I'm not schizophrenic.
But I mean, I would go back. I would go back to where the computer was, and then no one would be on it. It would be off. The screen would be black. I was like, what happened? I literally would hear the game.
Okay, let's not go into our psychotic side of things, Josiah.
it's
Josiah. What are you
talking? Maybe
please tell us. Please tell us a sane story.
Please get us off the.
Yeah.
You guys regret coming on the show. I'm so sorry.
First of all, I guess
where are my antipsychotic pills?
We are super thrilled to be here, so thank you for having us on.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
We've been looking
forward
to it for a long time.
Thank you for coming.
Awesome.
And thank you for hosting us tonight.
Absolutely. This will be a blast. So I think I remember quite a bit about my childhood, but particularly those Star Wars moments, or, you know, that kind of got you into it. So when Special Edition Star Wars came back to theaters in 1997, I would have been 6 years old. That's when my dad, I knew we were going to the Galleria Mall, mm-hmm. and got to the movie theaters. I didn't know what we were going to see, but he goes, two tickets to Star Wars. So we went and saw A New Hope. That was it for me. After that, I was totally enamored. We went and saw Empire a few months later.
This is the first time you ever saw it?
First time.
Well, so that's awesome. You saw it on the big screen.
Right.
It wasn't even like, you know, on like some small TV set. You're like, you know,
exactly.
Oh, that's
cool. So was this when like the re-release came out?
Yeah.
In the
90s? They did 1997.
Was when they redid the graphics?
I think they were the special edition.
Yeah, the special. Yeah, I only saw episode 4 in the movie theaters, and it was like the cheap dollar store theater.
Yeah.
And like, they had the treble turned all the way up, so every single time R2-D2 made a noise, I wanted to,
hold my ears
and scream.
Right.
Like, I did not go back and see the special editions in the movie theater because of that
Brutal.
Experience.
That's horrible. I loved that, so I legitimately, that was my first exposure to it, didn't know any of the story, and I watched movie to movie, and I think they came out, like, every 2 months or something like that.
Yeah, they were really close, because they were the special edition, yeah.
Kind of to get people hyped for, you know, Phantom
Menace
a few years later.
I
remember I went, my dad took me to the library, I got a bunch of Star Wars books out, I got the chapter book of Empire Strikes Back,
wow.
and I drew in it,
Of course you did.
And I remember taking it back to the library. And
I don't want this anymore.
I kind of got the look from the librarian that Pete gave Trevor a little bit ago.
Glasses and all.
Seriously, it was, you know, kind of like shameful. And then there was the one other kind of funny memory when I was probably 7 at this point, but my family had wanted a dog for a long time. And I remember just before my parents brought the dog into the house, my dad goes, what have we wanted for a long time? We've got a surprise for you.
A lightsaber.
I go, an R2-D2 action figure. We got it. I was like, no. Like, oh. And then it was a dog.
This dog sucks.
You named the dog R2.
You named the dog R2-D2?
What'd you name it?
Comet. Cliche, you know.
Nothing like R2-D2. Yeah. It sounded close like it.
No, not at all. But, you know, in the back of my mind, that was there. So.
Yeah.
Life. I'm a lifer at this point.
Well, that's awesome. So, yeah, that's actually – your dad was very clever with that, trying to engage you, especially the big screen, you know, seeing that. That's got to be pretty exciting as a kid.
It was great seeing it that way. I'm glad I saw it on the big screen the first time because it lined up perfectly, obviously, with my age. And when it came out originally in the late 70s and 80s, I'm sure that was what sparked it for a lot of people too, kind of being able to see it there and immersed in the sights and sounds and – It's pretty awesome.
For me, because I was probably your age when it came out. I'm quite a bit older. And obviously.
You don't look it. I would never know that.
Thank you. But that was like, you're just like, whoa, what the hell? And
yeah.
One of the strong things that visually I remember, and this is going to Empire, whenever that was, 80, 81.
80.
Yeah. Was
77, 80, and 83.
When the speeders are in Hoth and they're going up and down the hills, I literally felt like my seat was going like up and down, up and down. I literally felt it, and it was just because you're on a big screen, and it's like
it's not Star Tours.
Yeah, it's not Star Tours. I've been on Star Tours.
Yeah, Star Tours is awesome. Yeah,
I guess they revamped it though.
I hear it changes like every time you go on. I mean, not every time. Yeah. But I mean, if you go on it back to back, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Next time,
yeah.
I think they revamped it for Force Awakens and all the new stuff.
Oh,
but that's
that's so cool.
Well, let's get into the subject here, the meat of the subject of Attack of the Clones. I don't want to go through the blow by blow of that movie, but I do believe that this movie is a better movie than Phantom Menace, but it still is not a great movie.
Yeah, for sure.
There's more cool aspects and awesome scenes and fight scenes and stuff like that. But it doesn't. The stories don't. The interconnecting plots don't really make you go like, wow, I want to. You know, I want to find out more about this. Or
the saddest thing about it is that. I watched again with the commentary on. I go to no short links for you guys.
This is true.
He's going for a prostate exam for myself later on. I'm Aaron O'Brien.
What a guy.
He puts the meat in the oven.
Oh no.
Oh, dear. All right. So he's watched that.
So I you know, George Lucas was extremely lifeless in episode one. But he was like basically in the grave on this one. Like I don't know when the commentary was recorded. They said something like 2 years later, so I'm not sure if it's 2 years after the movie was filmed, mm-hmm. or if it was 2 years after it came out on, you know, Blu-ray or DVD or whatever it's an original release was. So, like, it's probably – if it's been 2 years beyond either time, George Lucas has had all the hate from Jar Jar, the hate about the love story. So, like, George Lucas is, like, dying on the inside, and he just can't get out anything, like –
He's under this huge boulder weight of hate and disappointment from everybody.
Let's just finish this thing.
And his box office numbers are never going to beat Titanic, and he's just depressed. So it's just – and the thing is there's – you know, last time we went over the Jar Jar theory, and, you know, I was kind of hoping maybe he'd, like, wax philosophical a little bit. And it's like, you know, we were planning on this, but, you know, no. George Lucas is just
– tight-lipped.
We'll never hear it.
Tight-lipped and defeated. Like – he just – it's just kind of sad just listening to him kind of drone on about how he's like, well, in order to get them here, I had to do this just because, you know, they had to get there. So that's why it happened. It's just like
– yeah.
Wow. It's like did you – I mean like people like the Red Letter Media guys have complained about how lazy your filmmaking is. But now you're basically admitting it
yeah.
out loud. I'm like, no, George, come on. Prove these people wrong. Tell them why you did it like in a good way instead of like, well, they had to be there, so this is why I wrote it that way.
Well, you know, going on that, and you know, obviously you two seeing it much fresher eyes than we did. You know, you saw Phantom Menace in the theaters, you know, and what was and now Attack of the Clones. What was your feeling when you saw it? Were you like blown away? Were you just like? What was your initial reaction?
Yeah, how old were you guys when you first saw them, the prequels?
So Attack of the Clones, I would have been 11.
Okay, so you were pretty young.
Nine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was in college.
I didn't want to talk about my age.
You already had two kids.
No, I was kidless at the time, but...
Shut up.
All right, but
I'm certain to get
oh, it'll happen to I'm, all of you. Don't worry.
Grumpy Geek's going to kill me.
We hear it all the time.
But what was, like, you walk out of the theater. I mean, obviously you're probably a little juiced seeing it, but, like, you after a little reflection, were you still excited or were you, like, kind of, like, picking it apart? Or how was your feeling seeing it?
Being that age maybe helped.
11, yeah, 11's a... 11's a great age to be.
I loved it, honestly.
Okay, yeah, it's that's great.
Yeah,
as someone who loved it, like on your first showing, mm-hmm. I want to hear like what made this movie stand out to you as someone who loved it upon your first viewing.
A few things, I think. I mean, you know, you can look back now and kind of pick it apart a little bit more.
Of course.
Obviously, all these years later.
You become more mature and you see other movies that are...
Yeah, you become more critical, right?
And now
yeah.
we kind of have, like, a good view of, like, really good movies and how they're supposed to be.
So you've seen The Godfather. Yeah. You've seen, like, the really classic movies.
Yeah,
the first Matrix.
Kind of, you don't really, like... You're not introduced to good film like you are now.
Yeah.
So I think... I don't know. Like, I have to admit that I did like it a lot.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with it.
I just want to hear what made it stand out. Like any favorite scenes? Like why was this so impressive?
For me, like Attack of the Clones.
Specialist.
Oh, Attack of the Clones was awesome because I really liked seeing all the Jedi, you know, in the same place fighting
in that arena.
All the droids. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It was amazing.
I gotta admit that was kind of cool.
I love the except for
you know I was old enough to be like how come they're dying so easy like yeah. Jango Fett shot three blaster bolts and killed that one guy and falling off the edge yeah. I'm like really
yeah
you can't block three
that
shots
was a little weak
like
Jango's not that good
what happened to your super force speed and like I'm just like It was impressive to see, but at the same time, like, why are these Jedi so wimpy?
He was a Jedi intern. He wasn't even an apprentice. They were like, we need all the Jedi and even all the people who can hold a lightsaber.
I don't really know how to use my lightsaber.
I heard it can block a blaster. I'm not sure, though. And he falls off the precipice and dies.
And how about you, Josiah? You went and saw it. You're a little bit older than Trevor, but, walking out of it.
I think the Clone Wars scene totally blew me away. For whatever it was, maybe it was jumping from episode 1 to episode 2, the feeling of darkness that kind of
loomed on it,
felt for this movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was totally into it. I love how everything kind of intertwined. I liked, obviously we knew what was going to be the result of episode 3.
Sure.
We didn't quite know what was going to be the result of episode 2, if that makes sense. Like, we knew kind of what was going to be the path to getting to
the... You knew the clones were involved.
Sure, sure. You know that was going to trigger the bigger galactic event. But right. I loved that. I loved even the lightsaber battle at the end. I thought, you know, like I said, looking back now...
But Yoda flipping around and...
I loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
Loved it. Like, yeah. And I think my theater that I was in ate it up, too, because everybody was applauding.
Oh, yeah. When the Yoda showed it, everyone's just laughing and having a great time when they see it. They're like, what the fuck?
Mind blown, right?
Yeah.
And I think the CGI in this movie was better than it was
in episode three,
even. But episode 3 almost felt lazy, and I can point to a few certain events that looked like, oh, my gosh,
bad. I'll give you that. I think that the CGI is pretty good on this one. It's much better than Phantom Menace. Phantom Menace looks like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Also on the commentary, you get the CG artist going. It's like, well, we had to animate Yoda's ears to bounce so it matched the puppet.
and George Lucas just goes, shut up.
George Lucas is like, yep, it had to match the buff.
They also didn't make a single physical clone costume for the movie.
No, they didn't. Everything was CG. It
looked pretty good to me, I thought. But
you know, I think beyond the poor script writing and just what the movie was, to me, the reason episode 2, Attack the Clones, was so disappointing was because when I had seen episode 4 and Obi-Wan said, I fought with your father in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Like, I when I heard Clone Wars and they didn't expound upon it anymore than I fought with your father and he was a good pilot and in the Clone Wars. In my mind, as a child, you know, because I was, you know, younger, you know, pre-college when I saw the original trilogy, I was in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
When I thought Clone Wars, I was like, they cloned the Jedi and they were fighting each other? Like, how freaking cool would that be? Like, just, I mean, I didn't have a concept of what Game of Thrones was, but, like, thinking back on it, I'm like, this should have been, like, Game of Thrones style, like, you don't know who's good, who's bad, because all the good guys are clones. And the clones got to be the bad guys, right?
Interesting.
So, like, I mean, just imagine a Star Wars written on intrigue and backstabbing because you don't know, like, there's just one clone, and there's, like, three clones, and there's four clones, and you don't know
who's
good. This would have been so fascinating and so...
That was one of the things when, in episode 4, when, you know, Obi-Wan says that, you know, you just, like, it sparks your imagination, like, what is that about? But they never go into it, obviously. Well, they do way later. Did you guys ever see the Clone Wars, not the newer animated, but the older one?
Like the Samurai Jack?
Samurai Jack.
I did
Seriously,
not see that one.
Seriously, that's – I think
– I have those on DVD.
That might be better than episode 7 for me, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like way over episode 7.
They are really, really fantastic.
Oh, my –
They're so fun.
And that's one of the things that I don't like about the gap between episode 3 – or episode 2 and episode 3 is that, like, there's so much stuff that they could have, like – done to, like, maybe close that gap a little bit
more?
Well,
you see, you know, I think I said this in the show in the first episode, but, like, episode 1 should have been the crawl for episode 2. Episode 2 should have been episode 1. Episode 3 should have been episode 2. And episode 3 should have been Darth Vader kicking everyone's ass all the time.
Gotcha. I think you mentioned that, honestly, the Clone Wars, because Trevor and I talked about it, I think, 2 weeks in a row on Walking Carpet and how much we loved those. I think there was two animated bits for that they kind of put all the clips together on, and it made a greater movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
I love – we particularly loved how it kind of fell into episode 3 with the Chancellor getting kidnapped and Grievous even explaining his breathing.
It does because Windu crushes his chest there, and that's why he does the wheezing thing. So you see that in there in the cartoon. And it's great. It's awesome. Now,
I didn't know that.
It's awesome. It's really well done.
If you haven't seen it, you should watch it.
I have the DVDs.
I've seen some of the CGI.
I have all the DVDs. You should borrow
them. I have the issue watching the Clone Wars because, like, almost none of it really matters except for maybe Ahsoka because, I mean, you all know where the characters end up.
And the other thing is...
That's why I started watching and stopped, started and stopped.
The thing with me with the Clone Wars is that there was too many episodes for me to follow, and I just started losing it because I was watching when it was on TV. So I'd miss like two episodes, and yeah. I'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and a lot of them are very like...
And they don't even play in order, so no. they jump around. No, they're weird order.
That's bizarre. The first three seasons are not chronological. How
they don't make any
happen?
Sense.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense.
Well, besides that, I mean, because obviously Attack of the Clones is the start of the Clone Wars. So, I mean, we get sort of like the prequel.
But the thing is, like, Attack of the Clones, like, the title itself makes me think the clones are the bad guys. I mean, like, the whole, like, and then it's like, they're...
I never thought of it that way.
I mean, like...
But it's just they're attacking... Yeah. Doesn't mean they're bad.
It's not wrong.
No, it is wrong. It's defend the clones. The clones came in to defend the Jedi. The clones came in to defend the Jedi and Geonosis. They did not start the attack. The Geonosians started the attack when they kidnapped.
Yeah, but
the
that
attack of the Geonosians would have been even less popular.
Yeah, everyone would be like, what?
At least that would have made like sort of sense. Like,
who are they?
Why do I care?
So
or just not call it attack of whatever. Just call it like, you know, romance in space.
So I just
that's like my least favorite part of.
Oh yeah, we'll get into that. Before we get into that, I just want to say a few things. The things I do like about the film.
There are things you like.
There are things I love some of the visual effects. Obviously, are awesome. I know some people don't like it, but I like the car chase on Coruscant. I think that's great.
I
have a lot of fun watching that. I like the battle between Jango and Obi-Wan. I think that's great.
Because it's a fist fight. They pointed out that very specifically in the commentary. I've never seen a Jedi punch anybody before.
Oh, it's just great. It's just fun. It's a
great environment, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a great planet.
Kamino looked
really
cool.
I liked the whole thing on – the whole scene on Kamino.
Yeah,
not even just the fight. I just like the idea.
It was a night. It was a cool scenery and the whole idea.
Yeah,
the rain
and thunderstorms. I liked the feel of Kamino, but I just feel so bad for Ewan McGregor walking around in this giant green room.
Literally nothing.
That's got
to
be so awful.
Like half the movie, he was there half the movie. Yeah. So like that must have been so boring.
I actually think that Ewan McGregor is a fantastic actor.
He is.
I don't know if you guys have seen this. He does this thing where he rides his motorcycle with his friend, and you can do it on Netflix.
I kind of talked about that the other day.
I think you brought it up.
It is so engaging, and it's the stupidest thing. He rides his motorcycle with his friend through Africa, and then they do it through Russia, and it's just like he's just so amazing. You know,
yeah, it was like Late Night with Jimmy Fallon or something like that, maybe it was like Jimmy Kimmel, but he was talking about how like. He took this European sports car across the country and then drove it back. And when he got to Utah, he like ran out of gas on the side of the road.
Right.
And he had decided to dress up in like this blue jumpsuit, like a 1960s like Italian mechanic or something like that. And then so when he ran out of gas, he was trying to like flag people down. And they're like, "What's this Italian dude like on the side of the road for?" Like, and nobody stopped for him except for like one person that saw that documentary.
He did a documentary about polar bears up in like Canada.
He's so cool.
And I got to tell you, this was it for me. And I don't know what it is, but he was staying with some Canadian couple way up in the Arctic. And they're having a couple laughs at the end of the day of filming the polar bears. And this is in the documentary. He pulls out a guitar and he just does this quick little song. And I'm literally in love with the man. Like, I want to make out with him. He's just so amazing. I'm like, this guy is just incredible. Like, he
seduced you through the television set.
He's so great. And it wasn't anything amazing. It was just him just being himself. And it was just like, oh, that's awesome. So, yeah. So
there's lots of natural charisma.
He is just. Yeah.
It's the same thing with Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, okay.
He's a cool guy, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, just like, seeing him in Ex Machina was like so weird. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah, so I watched episode 7 like 5 times. Uh-huh. We talked about that before, how many times we've seen it. But,
on our bathroom break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intimate times, guys.
But so then after I saw it, like, even like in between the seeing episode 7, I would watch like Ex Machina or however you say it.
Ex Machina.
Yeah. And then I would see him in other stuff too, and I'd be like, oh, that's Poe Dameron. He's so cool. When he was like in all this stuff before he was in Star Wars.
Right. And just one other thing is the when he's going to Genosha and he's chasing Django and they're having through the asteroid field with the explosions.
Yeah, that was another one.
That was one of those, like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you hear, I think Lucas brought it up in the commentary, that's how Boba Fett knew to wait for Han.
But the thing is, like,
how would he know that?
They're not the same person. And
Boba was there.
Boba was there, but no, I'm saying like
he didn't know that Obi-Wan necessarily.
Obi-Wan isn't Han Solo. Also, Boba Fett was in the trash. Like his ship was like sitting in the trash bin that they let him out. I mean, so.
Right.
It wasn't like he knew. Like it was just
that's bullshit.
I mean,
he was trying to be like, "Hey, Empire was a good movie. How can we tie it to?"
Well,
that?
one of the things that made me cringe the most in the commentary was them talking about that scene, because he was like, "Well, I want the sound to be after the initial light." He's like, "You know how in space black holes have." It wasn't Lucas. It was Rick McCollum, I think. You know how black holes, like light gets sucked in, they can't even escape? This is going to be a sound black hole. It pulls all the sound in and then it lets it out.
The sonic charge or whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah. First of all, no sound exists in space. All of space is a sound black hole.
There's no science, people! There's no air molecules in space.
All of space is a sound black hole. Technically, there shouldn't have been any sound in the entire scene.
For what it's worth, it sounded cool. And just the logic behind it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but just saying it was an audio black hole. I'm like, it's not a thing.
So those are things. Scenes I love. There's obviously no real plot to it. There's really nothing in the plot I really grab onto. But those are the scenes I'm like, every time a scene's like, well, this is cool. I like watch this. So, I mean, it's eye candy purely. So,
yeah.
It's science fiction pornography. That's what it is. That's all it is. You're just like, whoa. So,
maybe we should call this episode science fiction pornography since we called the last one midichlorian prophylactics.
There you go.
It's a series now.
I want to focus on something that has bothered me since the conception of this.
I see what you did there.
Hey.
Conception. Is the idea that we're taking a hero and he will be twisted into a villain?
Wanna be a hero,
now,
baby?
I grew up, you know, with Luke and Han as the heroes, and they were always the heroes. You guys were younger, and obviously you've seen like Episode 4. That was your first introduction, and you saw the first Episode 4 in the theater, so you had like a little primer to the whole thing. But I had like years to gestate that these are what these are the heroes that you follow. And what does it do to a young mind when the hero, Anakin Skywalker, he's going to be the villain? Yeah, I mean you make the logical leap. Do you like say like he's pretty cool, I like him, or do you go like he's kind of a dick?
I totally want to get a bunch of children storm.
What is your mental process as a young person? Because I didn't experience it as an adult watching it. So what was your thought? And I wrestled with that when that came out. I was like, what does that do to a young mind?
It's kind of like what Robbie said. Like Obi-Wan should have been the main protagonist.
I agree with that completely.
Of the three films, and Anakin is just like a side character.
That was probably the most insightful thing about this whole thing. I wish Lucas got that note. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's different kind of...
Protagonist.
Love it. Yeah, love it. That was fantastic.
We were laughing so
and
hard.
And then we started saying antagonist. Yeah.
Protagonist.
I mean,
what did it do to you personally, and did you have any reflection on that?
As children, because I was already, like, basically in college.
It never fazed me. I knew the entire...
But there was times when he's kind of cool, and you're like, oh, that's neat. I like that, or I like...
When he's rolling around the field with a hot woman.
Well, yeah.
Who didn't want to?
That's cool.
But what was
Natalie Portman,
But
I mean,
what was...
My goodness.
But did you make any kind of, like, concessions to him, or just if you can dial back the clock in your mind, like what was your thoughts of that?
I feel like.
Or was there no thoughts whatsoever?
For better or worse, I bought into it. I bought in, you know, he's good now. He's got this dark side to him. Like, seriously, no pun intended there. But, like, I don't know. I guess I didn't really consider that. I just kind of, Anakin, we know the end goal. We know at some point something or some amount of events are going to happen that are going to get him there.
Which is interesting.
And I don't know. Maybe, Trevor, you can elaborate.
And what about
more,
you, Trevor? Did you consider that at all?
I'm blaming everything bad that I did as a kid on that. Now that you just kind of,
I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad.
Star Wars.
I was a horrible kid because
of Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen ruined my childhood.
It's something I really wrestled with as not morally or ethically, but I just thought, like, what does that do to a young mind?
Yeah, like. And I was kind of like a dumb kid because I didn't really like realize. Well, no, I talked about this with Joe the other day. I didn't realize that Senator Palpatine was going to become Emperor Palpatine. I was just a stupid kid. And as soon
wow,
as
you never made that connection.
No. Yeah. So in episode three, like as
you're
soon
like
as,
you were like, oh my gosh, shit! Yeah, he looks yeah. like Sidious.
No, I seriously went to go see episode three with like my.
How old were you? Because that's what George Lucas wrote.
When it first came out.
I'm sorry.
No, and I'm really glad that you guys are laughing.
Bless your heart.
Because like my whole life, I've always been like, dude, I'm such a stupid kid. Like,
George Lucas wrote the movies for that age, whatever age that was. You were like the perfect.
Yeah,
like George Lucas wrote these movies for you.
Yeah,
specifically.
Trevor, my logic behind.
Thank you, George Lucas, for helping Trevor have this amazing revelation.
So like, exactly what happened with you. I like looked over at my friends. I was like, oh man! And I looked over and my grandpa who. Like, isn't that into Star Wars? It's like, what, you didn't know that? And I was like, what? It's like my grandpa.
Your grandpa's probably like, he's been to, like, Vietnam.
Yeah.
He's seen everything. He doesn't care a shit about it. He's like, he's seen the worst of worst. And he's like, everybody fucking knows that. Yeah.
It was that day that he wrote me out of his will. He was just like,
he's hopeless.
Next to it, it just says Palpatine.
Yeah. I willed it to Palpatine.
You freaking idiot.
That's great. That's great. So you didn't give any thought
of
Anakin being the villain.
Yeah, I was just kind of like.
Or potential villain.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, well, you know, me as a little kid, I have like dark moments where I like yell at my mom and dad, mm-hmm. and I'm supposed to be a good kid. But like, it's just kind of like something that happens, I guess, is what I was thinking.
Well, you're human.
Yeah, it was kind of like humanizing the Jedi, because the Jedi are always supposed to be like all powerful.
They're almost monk-like. They're like unreproachable.
Yeah, so just having like, it was very relatable,
yeah.
I guess, at the moment.
Okay.
And then like, moving up to episode three, then you kind of realize, oh, well, this isn't like a natural thing. Like, it's natural to be angry sometimes, but yeah. like...
Right.
Not like that.
The transformation happens quickly.
Yeah.
And in episode two, it feels a little more organic to me. And then episode three, just a switch. All of a sudden,
He's killing children.
I'm going to kill everybody in about 20 minutes.
It's Sandy Hook, you know. He's like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
Jedi Sandy Hook. But I mean, he was more desperate in episode three, I think, when the switch happened. Because, like, he's having... Like, he had visions of his mom dying in this movie, and she did. And then the same thing's now happening to Padme, so he's, like, super freaking desperate.
Yeah.
Right, so
yeah.
he makes the deal with the devil, so to say. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can make those connections. And I understand what Lucas is doing. He's setting up the fear. And you see he's a fearful person. And there are people I've met in my life that they're not a bad person, but their fear rules their life. They can't get control of it, and so they overcompensate for everything.
It's a powerful thing.
It is. It's a human reaction. Some people deal with it differently. So I think his character is interesting. I think how it plays up in the script gets a little contrived, and I don't know. I know that he's not a bad actor. But the way he gives some of his lines sometimes, like when he's in the room while Padme's packing and he's complaining about Obi-Wan, you're like, at first it's okay, and then you're just like, it's not just that. He's over-controlling. He's just like
it's George Lucas's incompetency as a director. George Lucas all the actors in episode one were fantastic, except for maybe Jake Lloyd. Almost all the actors in episode two were great because a lot of them are the same. Ewan McGregor, Natalie Portman. These are all actors who have given amazing performances elsewhere. Like me personally, I don't think Vin Diesel's a very good actor. But Chronicles of Riddick, that director was able to get some really good moments out of Vin Diesel. Yeah. It's all about the director and his relationship.
It's interesting that you just brought that up because I just recently listened to Mark Maron's podcast and W2TF, and he interviewed Ron Howard, who was in American Graffiti, which George Lucas directed. And Ron Howard obviously was Opie, you know, and I mean all these. Yeah, all those old TV shows. So he was a veteran actor before he became obviously a big director, and he was in the movie. And George Lucas wasn't given many direction, and he goes, "Look," he'd be like, "Oh, that's fine, that's terrific." And Ron says, "If there's something that you want me to do, you know, just let me know because."
You kind of get the sense that that's what happened with this.
Yeah, like right? he's just completely hands off. And that's what – and he literally says this to Mark Maron in the podcast. Like, he literally gives you no direction. You just do whatever you want to do. And like where he was a method actor, like he if he had a scene with you, he would just rehearse it back and forth until you got it right.
Yeah.
You know? And it like he would go and like – he'd do like three takes and be like, okay, that's good. And, you know, and he'd be like –
really?
That's it. That's all you're gonna do. So maybe there just was no director on direction on, and he needed that.
George Lucas, like,
I mean, he was a young kid too. I mean, he was probably in his 20s. So whatever.
Yeah, George Lucas needs like he's just so, and then especially in the prequels, and especially if you watch the Red Letter Media reviews of the prequel movies, like the Plinkett guy is always complaining that George Lucas is sitting behind the camera in his chair in a giant green room, and that's all he does. He sits in his chair, drinks his coffee, doesn't do anything. He just watches it through the camera and says again, or, you know.
Well, and
it's just like he's if he like wrote the story fine. If he brought in like a veteran, you know, someone who knew how to direct, that would have been so much. Because I mean, episodes 5 and 6 were co-written by other people and directed by other people, and they're vastly superior films to in 6 and 7 too, I guess, or vastly superior to 1, 2, and 3 and 4 because actual direction and different screenwriter.
Well. And just going along with that, so, you know, I think his character is believable and there's some great parts to it. Like, when he kills the sand people, you kind of side with him.
I just wish that scene was a little bit longer.
but you kind of side with him, but you're just like, well, obviously he was pushed emotionally to this point where he can't.
But, like, then it gets creepy where he's, like, talking to Padme. He's like, I just didn't kill the men. I killed the women and the children, too. That's when she should have walked out like, see ya.
It's
like,
you're going to kill a lot more children. So it doesn't matter.
It's like, great dad. No, that's an X.
You're not mating material.
You're not father material.
You're a monster.
But, like, but speaking of, like, you know, the love scenes and how we were alluding to earlier, how terrible they are, I made everyone watch another video about Star Wars Theory, but this is one I do not agree with this time. Crack.com did a video on how to make the prequels tolerable, and it's by pretending that there's a love triangle between Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Padme.
This is such a stretch for me.
Which makes absolutely zero sense. Like, she spent the entire first movie with Anakin. Obi-Wan was on the ship the entire time. Like, I don't even think they saw each other. Like,
what are we just talking about? Like, kind of the Jedi are almost monk-like a little bit. Obi-Wan is like that pillar, that one guy who you feel like would never break the Jedi code. Yeah. He's
also,
by the book.
Also, if you watch the computer animated Star Wars Clone Wars, he had like the Queen of the Mandalore thing he had a thing for. And he offered to leave the Jedi Order for her, from what I understand.
I don't remember that for some reason.
He said that he would have left with her, and then
She said no, I think. I think she needed I don't remember. I remember reading it that he offered to. So, like, there was something, you know, but it just, you know, just didn't work out. So, I mean, like, I just, you know, if he did this before, why wouldn't he have done it, you know, again? And, like, it just... And the only evidence Cracked gives in this movie is that, okay, it makes more sense that he's older, but she didn't spend any time with him. She doesn't know who he is. And then second of all, like the placement of her hand on his thigh whenever he jumps
that's
up
the stupidest
on,
thing
on,
in the world.
On the beast. Like every other scene, that scene is like 0.5
Dave,
seconds.
I've put my hand on your thigh so many times.
I know, right? Like, you know, when we talked
in
the car.
Right now. It's been there the whole time.
It's really putting these guys off.
But
I just didn't know if that was like
that's a thing,
a podcast thing.
Yeah, it's co-host thing.
I was gonna scooch over closer to
you. Put your
all right, Trevor, hand right out for walking down
the inner thigh.
It makes a circle jerk easier later.
The only thing that was redeemable about that theory was that the fact that why would Padme even have any feelings for a young slave boy living on Tatooine? Like,
and they're only like 5 years apart, so when they get into their 20s, okay, it's not as crazy though.
When you were 15 years old, did you look at 10-year-old girls and go like,
no,
boy, I can't wait till she grows up?
When I was 15, I was looking at 25-year-old Natalie Portman.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So, and she was looking at a Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
That was good looking, dashing, and had a lightsaber. Yeah. You know?
Well,
what's that in your pocket?
But I mean, that's the only part of that.
Or are you just happy to see me?
Both.
It's a dual lightsaber.
But it's the only thing that makes sense of that whole theory.
Everything else is episode 3 supporting it a little bit better.
I want to talk about it. I haven't watched episode 3 in a while, so I do want to revisit this a little bit when we do episode 3. And because most of the evidence she points out in the video is from episode 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the 0.5 seconds her hand is on his thigh doesn't make any sense.
All right.
And all the rest of the scenes, her hands either are on Anakin's shoulders or on his waist. So, I mean, like that proof or whatever she gives makes no sense.
Ridiculous.
Okay, so the love scenes or the beginning of the romance between them two. Anakin's creepy.
So creepy the whole entire time.
Killed the women and the children too.
Like when they're on Naboo and they're at the lake and he kind of just starts stroking her and she just looks at him, I literally felt uncomfortable.
Well, like,
it's so off-putting.
Yeah, like at the time, I kind of like didn't think anything of it just because I was
obviously
a dumb little kid.
You're too young to make those.
I was probably stuffing my face with popcorn at that moment.
Like, yeah, okay, no lightsabers or lasers were happening. It's like, oh, this is the thing. I can eat and drink and go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
shortly before your grandpa disowned you.
That was a couple years later.
Yeah, 3 years later.
But like now looking back on it, it's like girls don't like that.
No.
I don't like guys like that.
I don't like sand. It gets everywhere. It's rough. It's coarse.
Not like this planet. It's like sex and soft.
Doesn't it feel like that's a direction issue again? No,
with your metal hand.
Also, it's direction. And like, you know, he's thinking he's way smoother than her skin. And it's not working.
No.
It doesn't work. And I wonder now, it actually is kind of clear why George Lucas went through so many different marriages. Things didn't work out.
It was the backstroke.
It was sand being rough and trying to talk about sand when you're trying to like
George
rub up
Lucas
on her back.
Lived in a desert when he was little. That's
why do you think there's so many desert planets in Star Wars?
He just grew up in Arizona. That's all it was. Yeah. He was just like, I hate sand.
It gets everywhere.
Place rough.
Place sucks.
It's in my beard.
Oh my God! I bet you.
That sucks.
That was pulled from real life. That was some real life dialogue he wrote down. It's like, oh, this shit's gold. You know.
I think he saw it on the back of a Wheaties box.
He was like, yeah.
That's the only part he actually directed. He's like, no, you gotta say it like this.
No, creepier.
And Natalie, look at him like this.
He just got like a prop metal hand rubbing her back.
Also, he has one of those long claws that you used to pick up things with, and
the sand gets
back scratcher, back scratcher.
I was telling Trevor with like the Palpatine thing. Ironically, I'm little when I'm watching this. I had made the assumption before episode 2 that Anakin and Padme got together because, hey, she was Queen Amidala. Her daughter must be Princess Leia, right?
That does make sense.
It had nothing to do at all with her being a queen.
Right.
But that was my my one parallel. We were talking about it in the car. I was like, you know, I had a kind of a Palpatine moment. Not quite so obvious. But.
No, that's actually a very logical leap.
Yeah. Sorry, Jeff.
Besides me not making the leap at all.
Yeah.
Even though
you just didn't even jump.
Seriously, there were like red arrow signs.
Jump here. Jump here. Yeah. Jump here. And you were just like.
You just wait for the earthquake to move the continents together.
So should I jump there?
Wait a second. What?
Wait, Africa and South America fit together in the continental divide?
What?
What? They fit?
No.
That's a coincidence.
But, okay, so that's creepy as hell, that little scene.
And like I said earlier, whenever he talked about killing the women and children, she said, I'm out. I was thinking you were cute. We rolled around the grass. You rode on that weird fat animal and pretended to be pretended to be wounded.
That was relatively believable. It wasn't awful. I could watch that one okay.
George Lucas said, I just specifically wanted to see two young pretty people rolling around the grass.
Well, who doesn't?
I
want to see that.
More or less. That's one of the things he was saying in the commentary.
And then the scene in the evening where she's in that sort of dominatrix suit.
She's like, I'm going to spank you. And he's like, yes, please. And she's like, no, I'm a senator.
But
also during the commentary for that scene,
we don't do those things.
We don't do those things on Naboo.
Like, I feel like both their performances are really wooden in this scene. And Rick McCollum was like so proud of the scene because he's like, you know, with digital compositing, we can cut each of them out and then we could like use two different takes and put them together. And we use the two best takes. I'm like, really?
Yeah, those are the best.
These are the best takes out of all the takes of the scene.
Don't say.
I am like, all the things they tell me about what's happening in the movie, I'm like, really?
It's worse.
This is the best thing you
got.
It's
worse and worse.
It's like, it's not like, you know, they didn't have time and they're running out of time. You know, just like, no, yeah, this was the best ones we got.
And
what?
And it doesn't make, I mean, okay, there's some great scenes. I mean, there's a great point where, you know, Anakin says, well, we don't have to tell people. And she goes, we'll be living a lie. And then that kind of still it exposes more of who Anakin is. Like he has this like deceitful side of him. Like he's going to hide things from Obi-Wan and the Jedi Council.
Well,
so.
I don't even think he was really hiding things. Like whenever they let them go on the planet, like Obi-Wan and the captain are like, oh, I wonder who's going to make the first move. Like they're just like betting on it. Like they're just like,
yeah, no, but
Obi-Wan knows.
I never felt like that was that. I felt like that was like they're two young kids.
They're two crazy kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I always wondered how like Obi-Wan.
I'm pretty sure you've seen her dominatrix outfit before. I'm sure
How did Obi-Wan's force and enlightened force sense not pick up?
Well, it's not even just Obi-Wan, like Mace Windu, like Yoda, any of the.
I think we kind of like put down like that Yoda and Mace were kind of like out of it. They just were like absentee parents. They're just like, you know, they show up once. They were like, Anakin was like the latchkey kid of the Jedi Council. Just like they just let yourself in and heat up your dinner.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Well, you know, the prequels and the Clone Wars in general, to me, like, demystified the Jedi with like the midichlorians.
Yeah.
And then just seeing Jedi just getting beaten so easy. Like in the original trilogy, you think these Jedis are like, they stand head and shoulders above everybody. But then like, you know, in the Clone Wars, there's like a scene where like Obi-Wan and some other Jedi were getting like, you know, stumped by a single bounty hunter. I'm like, really? Like I just
was a really good bounty hunter though.
He was real cool though.
Yeah, he had the big sombrero. Yeah, he was great. But
Cad Bane.
But I just all these Jedi just dying so easy. I'm just like, I thought these were like the best of the best, and they're just dying to these nobodies. Like I feel like they just demystified the Force and wussified the Jedi.
It kind of makes Star Wars like a bigger universe though, because like if there's these guys, the Jedi, and all of a sudden they get beat by one bounty hunter. Like, can you imagine all the other bounty hunters in the universe that
badass bounty hunters.
All, like, the cool things. And that's the thing that I like about...
It just sparks your imagination.
All they have is, like, tech. Like, Jedi's have this mystical force, this power. Oh. They are literally super
human
or
gods.
Super alien.
I always kind of thought them as, like, samurais that were, like, kind of magicians. That's all I kind of figured.
But magic gives them
samurai
that nobody else
kind
has.
Of magicians.
Half samurai, half magician.
That's in their resume.
Yeah. We need a new word for this. We'll call him Jedi.
So
Return of the Jedi.
So anyway, so the love scenes is a complete failure, in my opinion. I mean, sure. do you guys feel any different about
this? I think in theory it should have worked. Execution was bad.
They are both beautiful people.
We should have pulled the
I mean, you should
have
just wanted
out.
To see that happen. I mean, Natalie Portman, Hayden Christensen, they're just beautiful people. I mean,
just gorgeous.
Yeah. You would kill to look like any of them. And they just...
I really
like,
want to look Natalie Portman.
You just look... I would. I want to look like a Natalie Portman. But it was just like... You just, and they get together and you're just like... This is just creepy.
The chemistry...
Chemistry was so off.
There's no chemistry between the actors.
Yeah.
There's no direction to make me feel like they've actually fallen in love. It's just like, well, we were in a near-death experience, so might as well...
That's another thing that, in addition to Anakin's kind of... What I think is a quick transformation in episode 3, in this one it's a quick transformation for Padme. Because she's like, no. And then all of a sudden, okay, you know, what the hell? let's do this thing.
Well, yeah.
Well, like, you know, George Lucas was saying like that Padme was sort of like showing that she liked him even on the transport to Naboo. So this is like early in the movie that he's saying that this is when she starts to kind of like him.
Kind of like, you know, like he makes like, a little quip just before they got on the transport and says, don't worry, we got R2, he'll protect us.
Oh, he was talking about humor at that point too. I'm like, really? Like, that's not even funny.
Well, it's cute. You're just like, eh, you know. But, I mean... Sure.
Sorry, the commentary has scarred me for life, guys.
Anytime you mention
something that's happened, like, oh, yeah, the commentary, this is awful.
David messaged me when he was watching. He was like, oh, my gosh. This is bad.
He's just writing, dying.
Keep me alive.
I'm bleeding out all my orifices.
I may not be able to make the podcast.
We were talking about the transformation of the dark side for Anakin and the third prequel, but this one we're seeing the beginnings of it. So you're sort of seeing Anakin being drawn. I mean, we see a quick scene between
like a French girl.
Palpatine. Stop. A quick scene. What the fuck, Dave? We see a quick scene with Palpatine and Anakin, how he sort of is enticing him that it's like, oh, you're finally getting your own mission.
Yes.
And that, so you can sort of see his seduction.
His training wheels are getting taken off.
Yeah, but you sort of see his seduction that he's feeding his ego. He's feeding what Anakin wants.
I like that walk.
It's very good.
It's like, oh, Palpatine and Vader kind of walking together. You know?
And you kind of like that was a great scene because you're like, okay, I can see he's stringing them along and he's planting these little seeds. Oh, stop!
Trevor thought he was just some politician that also had the name Palpatine.
It's like, why does this guy keep showing up?
Politician.
he's just a weird creepy pedo. He's like, look, you're a kid. I'm gonna keep an eye on you.
He's just this weird old guy. Yeah.
Weird old guy interested in an 8-year-old kid.
He's prominent, but not too much. Almost like he's in the background.
Yeah.
So you see that
the bottom half of his face looks exactly the same as that other old guy's.
Weird.
Obviously, the attraction to Padme is kind of breaking away from the Jedi Code. He's having the dreams, the premonitions. And this is the part where I kind of felt like Obi-Wan at some point should have been like, let's just take a visit to Tatooine. It's like, it can only take us like a day to get there, you know, back and forth. This is my best friend I go everywhere with.
Remember, they did get to Tatooine from Naboo with no hyperdrive.
Yeah, so. I know. I'm just saying it should have been like, just like, let's
next door neighbors.
Just take the trip.
Ease I mean, it's mine kind of thing.
Yeah, it's your friend. Let's just check in on your mom. I mean, wouldn't that be so
I have
hard?
No choice, Padme.
He could just say,
I've got to go check on my mommy.
He could just say because, you
she
know.
She hasn't called me in 6 days.
Well, you know, I can like still watch you when I'm watching her.
Oh, gosh.
Well, anyways.
I could protect
Are there
you
any
both.
Scenes or yeah, anything else that stand out more with it? I mean, obviously, he kills the sand people, which is a huge red flag.
Yeah.
But for you, the seduction of his innocence and turning him into the dark side begins here more than anything.
Well, what's funny is I thought that scene when Anakin finds his mom in the hut. Crossover.
He cuts a big old hole in him and he walks in. Yeah. Like, his insides look so weird.
I just want to say this. I just came up with an idea when I was watching this is a hut as a stand-up comedian. I think that's a great idea. I'd love to see that. Okay, go on.
Hey, me said, do that a poodoo.
And everyone's laughing.
So I felt like that scene where Anakin finds his mom was intense, even though...
Yes.
It wasn't like super graphic, but
I feel like it wasn't like long enough. I felt like that was
Did
that
you
scene
need
was
it longer.
Too rushed.
Do you like the Saw movies?
Yeah.
Damn it.
No, I don't.
I thought that it really hit the mark, and seeing that happen, like, really, I thought that that was kind of executed well.
Yeah.
Like, she's a mess, obviously, and she's kind of been holding on just to see him one more time.
The same actress?
Yeah.
Okay.
Same actress.
Pernelia August.
Yeah.
They just had a guy punch her in the face a lot.
A couple times.
Rick McCollum.
Rick McCollum, because he didn't want to spend the money on special effects.
Ironically, the one thing.
She got paid real well.
I thought that was
pretty tough. It is really intense. It's a hard scene to see. I mean, just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what are these sand people doing?
Yeah, they kind of villainize
breeding
that.
Stock.
Yeah. I didn't think anything else in the movie was particularly pulling Anakin there more than that. I think that was just a little bit jarring. And like I said, when I was younger, I thought that there was almost a really intense scene. Nowadays, obviously, you see stuff like Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, you're like, oh, that's nothing. But, you know, like, no, emotionally speaking.
You know, it's a rough scene. I mean,
she's tied to some weird wooden pole thing.
Yeah, it's messed up.
It's really messed up. It is.
It's like, what are they doing to her?
Exactly.
Is there anything from you, Trevor, when you saw it and you're just like, this is Anakin becoming the villain?
Not really.
He's still a good guy. I know.
I've seen this movie,
you're
right?
Still Anakin becomes Vader.
Real dumb kid. Yeah, I mean, I guess really, like, looking back, just the whole sand people, killing all the sand people and finding his mom.
That's pretty
like
messed
that.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be, like, one of the, I mean, if not the point, the tipping point for him, where he just kind of, like, loses it. I mean, the whole idea of him and Padme, like, falling in love and, like, going against the Jedi Code, I guess you could kind of say, like, that's the tipping point.
It's also exactly Yoda's saying. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate leads to anger. He was scared of his mom. Then his mom died. Turned to hate and anger. Yeah. And then suffering. He made all the same people suffer for...
Sure.
It's just Yoda's, like, little
and his
things
own
played out.
Yeah. His own suffering.
Well, it ultimately leads to his own suffering over longer time. But it's starting... But all four phases worked out in this one scene.
Was there anything else that you saw, Dave, that you were like, this is sort of his seeding into the...
I mean, nothing else in particular that we haven't gone over.
Yeah.
It's definitely the seed. It's definitely like the tipping point. And then, you know, his maniac saying, "I can cure death. I can cure cancer."
Well, that's the next movie.
No. But when he was complaining to the Padme in the garage, he's like, "I can cure death. I can be more powerful."
That's probably where Padme should have walked.
Yeah, exactly. Like this,
just
that whole scene,
a little
like,
scary, yeah.
Just walk into the ship and just like, R2, we're leaving.
Like the red letter.
Just leave him on Tatooine.
Leave him with his C-3PO. They can hang out and buddy. Yeah. Like, C-3PO going with him didn't even make any sense. Other than that, I guess I'm technically ownership reverts to the next of kin.
Yeah.
Padme, why'd you leave me here? Oh, we had to go space grocery shopping.
Although she did technically get married, so technically her husband should have been next of kin for the robot to go. I don't know. C-3PO just happened to come with him, and then
they're just like, they held like this guy is just weird. He never shuts
just,
up.
They have this dumb stuff where his head gets switched with one of the battle droids. And
that
just like,
is just.
It didn't need to be. None of that needed to be there.
That just needed
that's,
to be.
I think that's
out.
Just like another one of those things where, like, I know you guys are so caught up on, like, Jar Jar being a Sith Lord or whatever.
Yeah.
Obviously, that never, like, took off with me just because I always viewed Jar Jar just to be too much comic relief in a movie that didn't need any more than it should have.
Yeah.
So, just, like, 3PO losing his head and switching it with the battle droid, it's just another one of those moments where I cringed.
It literally is one of those scenes that just doesn't have to be there.
Yeah, it
didn't have
does
to.
Not
they, you could have just you could have eliminated that whole sequence.
Yeah,
I mean, even the whole sequence where they're Padme and Anakin are on the conveyor belt and
I kind of like that, but not,
it could have been trimmed down.
Yeah,
it could have been trimmed down. Definitely. I thought it got a little silly.
That part was overly long, most definitely.
Yeah, and it gets to a point of like complete unbelievability.
And then the digital Jango Fett there.
No one would actually survive that thing. I don't care if you've got superhuman sense. And Padme was on it too. She doesn't have any superhuman senses.
It's like for me when I saw Indiana Jones, Kingdom of Crystal Skulls. Like I saw it in the theaters
part time,
and I just sat there and I was like, I'm going to suspend my disbelief. It's just a movie. Enjoy, enjoy. And then when Shia LaBeouf starts swinging through the trees with the monkey, I was like, yeah, I can't do it anymore.
I can't do this.
This is like, I could handle him being in the fridge getting shot off with the.
I couldn't stand that.
I'm like, very aware that I'm sitting here.
The movie fell apart for me right when the.
No, I could handle that part. I could handle that part.
I hung my head in disbelief.
But that was where I go, no.
There's so many different parts of that movie that, like...
We're just digressing into a totally different movies now.
Exactly.
Because
I had a question for you guys. With Anakin's kind of descent to the dark side, do you think it... I know Lucas kind of played it up that, and they do in episode one, that he's too old, yada, yada. He's seen too much of life. Do you think... What is your feeling on that? Like, should they have left him there? Obviously, we saw what happened with Vader,
honestly,
but, like...
I think that... Maybe because
Luke was older.
I feel like the age thing is stupid. Like
it contradicts itself with Luke.
No, but I think it
just doesn't make any sense. I mean, like, they started to say, oh, he's too old to begin the training, and then like he's 9, he's still too old to begin the training. I'm like, what?
Well, obviously,
like, most in their lore, the Jedi are basically plucked
abducted from
birth. Yeah,
but the thing is, like, I don't understand the whole monkish not you know, it must be so hard to find Jedi when Jedi aren't the ones doing the reproducing. And given that it passes strongly from family line to family line, it seems like the Jedi should be trying to procreate with other Jedi and make badass Jedi.
But their
like,
argument would probably be that they don't want any emotion involved.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I think
just Ponfar it. Just Ponfar. Once every 7 years. It's fine.
I think that's
it works
why,
for the Vulcans.
That's why they don't have like older kids as like apprentices,
right.
Just because.
But then you don't have to steal them from other families. You're just like, oh, we're just gonna like procreate. We'll just make a super Jedi baby, and then we'll just raise them in our crazy philosophy.
Have a strong connection to, like your mom, and that's kind of what happened with.
Well, no, but like maybe you'll have like Jedi from different sect, and they just trade babies.
Well,
that way they're not
like babies. So this is getting pretty
like a foster Jedi.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, that way there's no attachment. It's like, you know, they keep their no attachment thing. You know,
here's the thing:
they don't ever get married. They just kind of cycle through. Like, oh, who needs to procreate next? We'll just cycle through. You know, just to keep the bloodline going.
Just
you know,
it just seems far too complicated, Dave. here's the thing: is like I agree with you. I think if Anakin was found before he got emotional attachments with his mother, I think. Maybe you could have circumvented some of those emotional issues that he was grappling with.
But I think even like with that, he didn't necessarily have a father. He was kind of created by the Force, which itself is so stupid.
Isn't it,
Jar Jar the father.
He basically manipulated that, or his master did.
I'm pretty sure. Like,
it's never 100% clear.
The way he. He says in the episode 3, the story of Darth Pelagius, that he could create life. I figured that, you know, he passed it on to Palpatine, and Palpatine was the father.
I thought
that's,
so, too.
That's what
Palpatine
looks at him
and kind of looks like life. And he, like, looks at Anakin like, I did this. Like,
But then, you know, there's also all these episode 8 theories that are saying Snoke was actually the father of Anakin.
We don't know anything yet.
We don't know anything. But
it's a whole different can of worms.
Whole different. Yeah. But it's all sort of kind of related.
Since it was
never explicitly said that he was the father, just like it was never explicitly said that Jar Jar is a Sith Lord, it's still possible. It just is never explicitly said.
Sure.
I do think there's some credence to that if he would have been found before, I think there's some reasonable, but he was so strong with the Force that they accepted him in.
Yeah.
So.
They took a chance. Yeah.
He's the chosen one.
Yeah.
There's also another interesting theory that Count Dooku was – I mean, not Count Dooku. Mace Windu was super against the training of Anakin because he thought he was the chosen one. Because,
I saw that too,
because he was supposed to bring balance to the dark to the light side and dark side because supposedly he's a very angry Jedi.
Say
as,
what
as
again?
That's a tasty burger. But
Royale with cheese.
But Big Kahuna Burger, not from McDonald's. But
I never heard that. That's interesting.
But I heard they said that's the reason his lightsaber is purple. It's a mix of red and blue.
There is a book
because he's like balanced. He's like he feels like he's the chosen.
He walks
one, so.
The border. So I read
the
there's a book called Shatterpoint that is now in the past canon legend,
Legacy,
if you will.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. And it talks about he leads this – it's between episode 2 and 3, this legion of troops on some jungle planet. And it's horrible that it, something goes wrong. He has to survive kind of on his own. And it talks a little bit about that and why his lightsaber is the way it is. And because of his fighting style and how he almost harnesses the dark side, but not quite. Mm. So, and that's why he's got the purple one. So there is some credence to that, I think.
So, okay. Like, you know, it's, I mean, it's an interesting theory. I mean, like, I know that it's not part of the, you know, expanded universe is not part of the,
right.
The current canon, but, it's still interesting that people are postulating theories and, I try to read a bunch of Star Wars theories because I'm really interested in seeing, like, you know, because the Jar Jar one was so good. I just try to see if any other ones have come close. And a lot of the other ones are pretty terrible. But
that was in connection with the one that we talked about on Walking Carpet with
Ray Palpatine. I love the Ray Palpatine.
Yeah, I like that one too.
I hate it because I believe it.
We talked about Mace Windu being Snoke, and that was part of the theory.
Oh yeah, we had.
Snoke.
Oh, the Mace Windu being Snoke is like, it's not a bad theory. I just don't think it's actually going to happen.
No, I don't think
it is. I actually don't think it's a great theory. I think it's such a stretch.
I think it's really interesting. I mean, like, you know, he just gave himself completely to the dark side. Like, after like, you know, and Anakin is the one that, like, kind of messed him up. So, I mean, Anakin didn't step in and save him. So, I can definitely see him kind of being after the Skywalkers after.
He's just, like, one of those
that.
Characters, sure. though, and especially sure. in episode 2 and episode 3, where. He's like a main character, not necessarily a main character, because mm-hmm. there aren't really any main characters in the prequel.
There's no protagonist.
No protagonist. But he. But
we started saying that totally on Walking Carpet. It was great. We're like, as our friends at Synthaholic say, protagonist.
Protagonist.
We were talking about how that might be like the anti metachlorian.
The antagonist is
that's awesome.
The contraceptive to that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Midichlorian prophylactics.
Right.
It's perfect.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, so I don't know. This movie. It has shining, gleaming moments where you're like, that's pretty cool. And then there's parts where it just completely falls down.
Yeah.
And I almost feel it's everything that has acting in it is where it falls down.
Anything that's not computer animated is where it just totally falls.
Yeah.
Again, you think that's a result of
George
direction
Lucas's,
and yeah. not the actors and actresses?
George Lucas, in my opinion.
The actors and actresses are all good. I mean, Hayden Christensen I'm kind of iffy on because I haven't really seen him in anything else.
He's okay.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
But everyone else I know for sure is a great actor.
In my opinion.
It's a big cast list, right? It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
In my opinion, George Lucas is an amazing world builder.
I mean, the kid who plays Boba Fett's not that good, but I mean, you know, whatever.
You're gonna bag on a kid?
Yeah, you suck, Anakin. Should kill you. Oh, I'm sorry. Hope Anakin takes a lightsaber to your face.
I do wonder when he took that helmet, did he have the prized father's head out of it?
Yes. No. No. What? No. No. No.
It's like a bottle of ketchup, just banging on it.
No. No. When he picked it up and touched his head for it, his father's head should have fell out.
You know, would have been a great scene if he had it under his arm and they had what's his name, Todd Rundgren's song. You're like, I don't want to work. I just want to bang on the drums all day. That would have been a great scene if someone did that.
I bet you someone on YouTube has created that. Him holding it up to his head and then. Django's head just falling out. We got to look at this tonight.
There has to be something out there.
Like behind the scenes bloopers or something like that. Oh, and they all like kind of chuckle, like all the crew.
That would be really funny if they did that to scare the kid.
If
to freak him out.
If they actually put it in there.
If they did like those outtakes as a joke and they put it at the end of it.
That would
have
awesome.
Been so yeah. amazing.
Because it would have said that it was self-aware, right?
Yeah.
If they
yeah.
know that it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah like,
oh, that would have been
that
perfect.
That would have made that movie.
I would have gone to see it even more times in episode
I
one
would too.
If,
yeah.
if they had that really funny joke
yeah.
at the end.
Yeah, that would be great.
I didn't see this one 7 times. It was probably 4 or 5.
I saw this one 3 times. I know that.
I saw the midnight showing.
I would have seen it the next day.
And once again
after school.
And once again, I think the only reason I saw it like more than twice was like what am I missing? Why is this not clicking? I mean, yeah. why is this not yeah. working?
I don't know. I just I think it's got everything that's almost there and it just again, it just there's jigsaw puzzle pieces that just don't fit together and then you're just like
yeah.
You know, it's almost there. And
I hear you.
And I think it's mostly just because of that.
Jamie found a video of his headphones.
No.
What is it?
She found the video. Okay.
Of his
so we're watching.
Oh, my God.
There it is! I'm so glad.
Send that to us so we can put it on our notes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so good.
That's great.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad we kind of came to that realization.
That's nice.
Well done, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, the internet.
Yeah.
About a minute later, it's there.
It's like, it's the antithesis of Rule 34. It's like Rule 42 or something like that. It's like, if you think of it, it's probably exists.
It happens all the time. I'll come up with some cool idea, and then I'll just Google it. Yeah. Oh, somewhere it came up this 5 years ago. You know.
It's awesome.
Any other thoughts on this movie as we're kind of...
I don't know. Especially now that they've kind of expanded on the Clone Wars and the gap in between two and three.
Yeah.
I've kind of have grown. It's grown on me a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like the style of cartoon that they did for like the animated series, like the CGI.
Yeah,
five seasons.
It's really hard to watch this. Everyone's angular and ugly.
Rebels does it a lot better though.
Rebels
looks great.
Looks real good.
I'm more than happy with like
all the women. All the women in the Clone Wars look fine. They look like because they have smooth like round edges and they look like they could be people sort of. But all the guys have these weird like ugly angular faces and like points everywhere. I'm just like, I understand it's a styling trying to make them look like manly, but I mean they don't look like people anymore.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just some of the episodes are kind of like filler and like very childish. And I understand that it's meant to be.
It's like rated Y7.
Well, you know.
Well, then.
I've seen all the episodes at least twice, so that says something about me.
Jeez. Goodness. So, I just finished it like this year.
I haven't made it all the way through the Clone Wars. It's very, very hard.
I came kind of in and out. I would watch it for a few weeks, go out of it. I mean, you said you were watching as it was on TV.
It was on, and I'd catch it like here and there, and I'd watch it, and I'd be like, "What the hell's going on?"
Yeah, I did the Netflix thing, and
I should do back. I should go back on Netflix if it's worth it.
The chronological order that helps a little bit. There, if you Google it, it'll put them in order for you.
Yeah,
which is so hilarious.
It's really weird. You got to do that.
Because like in season three, there's episodes that take place like in season one. Like it's really weird.
I didn't know that until I was probably midway through season two. I'm like, these are like one-off episodes. Like there's no continuity here. And someone was like, you know, a good friend of mine. They're out of order, dude. I'm like,
so weird.
Well, that
so
makes
weird.
It better. You know that I understand
wish they
that now.
Stuck with that Samurai Jack style.
Yeah, that was a great
style.
Like, I love Samurai Jack. The animation style was amazing, and it was a great marriage of the two.
We got to watch those again.
But the thing is, like, I mean, like, with so much CGI being in the movies, it almost seems like they could have taken like their low res models from the movies and just ported them over and put like cartoonier looking textures on them. It's like so much work. So much of the movies were CG. I mean, you just got to like grab those assets and just use the lower res versions of it, put a different texture on it, and now it looks like a cartoon.
Yeah.
How about you, Josiah? Any other parting thoughts on this movie?
I think some of those big scenes, like we mentioned, the action sequences between Obi-Wan and Jango, whether it was in space or on Kamino, stick out. The Clone Wars scene on Geonosis really sticks out to me. I enjoyed that lightsaber fight quite a bit.
With Dooku and Yoda?
Yep, the end fight with everybody there. And then I thought with the CGI, it was hot and cold. There were some moments where you're like, oh, this is bad. Some moments it looked really good.
Yeah.
I know one moment.
The hardest scene of the entire movie was Anakin standing on top of the big fat beast.
Really, mine was
that looks bad.
And it looks awful.
He's like
Rick McCollum said, this is like one of the hardest scenes to do.
That's so sad.
Although it's hard, because he says a lot of the scenes are the hardest thing to do. So it's kind of hard to peg
them.
They're
all the hardest. I have not watched the commentary in years, but I do remember one thing where
don't do it again. It's not worth it.
I know you did it for me. Thank you, Dave.
Not worth it.
Either Rick or George says at the very end when Dooku's on his solar sailor going towards like the outskirts of Coruscant that was like the scene they were most proud of, I think. And Dooku stands up in the digital solar sailor and you see him walking before it lands. Kind of cool, but like that's the thing you're most proud of. Like
really? Like how hard? I mean,
I don't know. It's like,
and how do they not catch the solar sailor?
It has a cloaking device.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see.
But that big giant sail sticks out. What's that thing pulling?
One thing I do want to mention that I absolutely adore from this movie was John Williams' soundtrack. I think even to the point of
the soundtrack was the best part about episode one.
The love theme was beautiful.
Yeah.
If only the performances could have matched.
And then the creepy robot hand taking Padme's hand at the end too. It was just like
bizarre. So
that's another one of those.
It looks like the Terminator's hand.
Remember the Family Guy Star Wars when the Empire Strikes Back edition of that?
Yeah.
Like the medical droid's like, practice on a hot dog, kid, or you'd rip your dick off. It was a perfect way to end it.
That's awesome.
That should have been in the movie.
Family Guy got it right, folks. So I enjoyed it. It's my favorite of the prequels.
Good old Family.
This is
over three.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I know I'm in the minority on that one, but over
three. I think Plinkett likes it even less than episode one.
A lot of outlets and fans in general rank it lower than one, but I think it's hard to do.
And what, Dave, for you, any parting thoughts on this movie?
Don't watch the commentary, please, for the love of God. Yeah. Don't do that to yourself. I was bleeding from so many orifices. I needed so much cotton swabs.
My thought was that Phantom Menace was like George Lucas trying to get back into the game. He sucked.
You should have started with Red Tails.
Attack of the Clones. He got a little bit better, and then Revenge of the Sith
was... He lost it again?
No, I thought it was pretty decent, but that's just my opinion. Okay, yeah. I'll leave it at that. That's where I'm at.
All right.
For the next Synthaholic Star Wars edition.
Yeah,
we'll be doing episode 3. We'll be doing it with Josiah and Robbie.
I'm so excited for that.
And just before we do our outro, giving out all the where to find us, we have an email. I don't know if it's from a listener though.
I would say definitely.
You think it's from a listener?
I just have that.
Hunch. I mean, you kind of read it before a little bit, and it sounded like they were
really cared.
At least a part-time listener.
It sounds like they did the voice memo kind of thing or voice texting, and it didn't. You know, maybe you'll see.
Yeah.
This is from Eva JB. Hello, how are you today? I went through your profile at Facebook, Site Angel, Return and Found, out that we can, make a good match, and I would like you to contact me through my email address so that I can tell you more about myself. Waiting for your mail, your Eva.
You read that like Shatner on a Priceline.
I was reading it by the line, how it was written.
We make good match.
Well, it's just, I was reading each of the lines as separate lines. To capture the essence of this email we got at synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Definitely real, so I would say we should really
respond to this, and we should try
see what
to,
happens
see,
to that.
See where this relationship blooms.
Yeah. Will you bring us more listeners, Eva? I really hope you will.
That's kind of symbolic of the Anakin Padme relationship.
Will you listen? Eva, will you listen a long time?
Oh, no.
Hey, and even if they ask for your social security number, just go for it.
Go for it.
You
just
need,
do
you
it.
You need to
give her, give Eva our credit card numbers. Yeah. It's okay.
The passwords to our website and all that stuff. Yes.
It'll be legitimate.
Eva,
we do it all the time.
We split it 50-50. It'll be a good relationship.
It's going to be good.
Your relationship with three people, yeah. Aaron, T.I.
Yeah.
It's going to be really difficult.
It is what it
is. I'm just going to apologize right off the bat.
The weirdest four-way ever.
I'm just going to apologize right off the bat. I'm so sorry.
we see the dynamic who holds the show down here. He's just like, fuck it, let's do it. No.
That's how it goes.
All right, so where can we find you guys on social media all of our...
You go first, Trevor.
Okay.
A lot of underscores.
Who's Palpatine.com?
Hashtag Palpatine Truthers.
My Twitter is at Trevor_White_, and I have the hardest time saying that whenever we do podcasts or our YouTube videos. It's Trevor_White_.
Oh, my. Hey, Trevor, where can we find you?
I don't know. I forgot my Twitter.
So good. I'm at Josiah D. Leroy.
And obviously the
geekyverse.com.
Geekaverse.
There's an I there.
It's okay.
Just stop, Dave.
You should put an A there. Or an just E stop, with an accent Dave. Mark.
Yeah, they, for all our French listeners. For all our French Canadians.
That would be a geek underscore verse.
And obviously the Geekiverse is where you can find your articles that you write and also your podcast as well.
Yeah.
All linked there.
A lot of media coverage on we do video game reviews.
They did video stuff from the Comic-Con that's up on there too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We did a whole bunch of E3 stuff when all those games came out.
Nice.
Yeah, so you can find us on youtube.com/C/TheGeekiverse for our web content. And then you guys mentioned our shows on iTunes. We have Walking Carpet that Trevor and I host, which is all Star Wars. He's got Walking Red. We do a lot of walking. We found out. You know,
walking is, trends. Hashtag walking.
Nailed it. So now it's the Walking Synthaholics.
The
Walking.
Awesome.
But yeah, you can download those today.
All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com. You can find us online on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. I am at David_J_Duncan.
I'm Blackbird2004.
Guy is GS Davis Art. Our email address is synthaholics@yahoo.com. Our Facebook is facebook.com/groups@synthaholics. Come check us out. If you want to give us money, we have a Patreon.
Please.
Patreon.com/synthaholics.
A dollar is all we ask.
Legitimately support these guys. We've had a blast. We look forward to doing this a lot more in the future.
Fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Thank you very much for having us on.
Thank you so much. And Guy Davis, our other co-host who couldn't be here tonight, he's at a con. He does a Star Trek comic, the USS Tamerlan, and he's doing a new one, The Witches of Flame. He also has a Patreon, so you can port his artwork because he is an artist for a living.
Yes.
Awesome.
That's patreon.com/GSDavisArt.
iTunes. Just go on iTunes. Leave us stars. Put a review. Because if you put a review, more people will find us. More people can enjoy us. And we know you love our show. And you want to keep that little... It's like when you find that band and you're like, this is my band. And all of a sudden the band blows up and everybody knows that band. And you're like, I liked them before anybody else.
And then
you hate
that band.
We're not going to sell out. We're going to keep bringing the same kind of content. Although I guess technically doing non-Star Trek stuff, are we selling out?
Yeah.
We're not going to sell out any more than we already have. So
yeah.
So please spread the word.
Yeah. So yeah, let people know. Give us some rating reviews. It'd be great. Put some stars up there. 5 stars, please.
We're also on Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio. So, wherever you find your podcast, we are there stalking you
and
waiting for you to click listen.
And more importantly,
waiting to stroke your back.
Uncomfortably with my metal hand.
And more importantly, tell your friends, anybody who might be interested in sci-fi, Star Trek, Star Wars, any of that stuff that might just silly humor, that might want a different podcast, direct them our way. Let people know. That's word of mouth is wonderful.
Word of mouth is wonderful. We don't advertise the show any other way, and we're here to make you laugh, and we hope you do, and we hope you want to help other people laugh. So hook us up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much all for listening. Thank you, Josiah. And thank you,
Trevor.
I'm so bad at the name.
Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Most definitely, Scott. thank you, Trevor, Scott, and Josiah so much for joining us to be on this show tonight. It has been an absolute pleasure.
It's been great.
This has been awesome. Thanks.
All right. Live long and prosper, everyone. Or may the Force be Schwartz with you.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Always. We're sing and we'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Like, there's probably 12 or 13 of us in our group.
Sure. But I want to focus on you two.
Sure, sure. I cover, I cover our Star Wars Rebels reviews.
Okay.
So you can mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then
Gotham.
Yep, I'll be reviewing that. You could mention I host a podcast for us called Geek Scott Game. They're all video game.
Geek Scott Game.
Geek Scott Game.
Oh, God Game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Geek Scott.
But I'm changing the title now.
Geek Scott.
Because I like that better. No, we like Michael Scott.
No one, but nobody named Scott has to be on the show.
Nobody Scott. It's just like a mythical. He's mythical.
He's our imaginary co-host.
Yeah.
Sitting next to you, but he never says anything.
Scott, what a guy.
Shut up, Scott. Just talk like he's the greatest guy that ever happened, you know?
Dude, the other day we went out on Scott's boat. I don't know if you've ever been on it, but it's amazing.
Trevor, it's October.
What was that, Scott? Hey, that was very insensitive to say, Scott.
It's a heated boat, Joe.
What the hell did you just call me?
I don't think Scott's mic is working. Like, how long do you think you can just keep that going?
It would be funny if we talked. Waiting for the answer.
Guys, I just want you to know, I don't think Scott's mic is working.
Or it would be even funny if you had somebody in the other room and they just scream something, but it's completely inaudible. Yeah. You just hear something.
What was that, Scott?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so dumb.
Scotty.
Talking at your show.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
And then what have you been working on for the Geekiverse?
I do our Walking Dead articles, like
Walking
the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reviewing Skyrim right now.
Skyrim Remastered?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Well, we kind of co-host Walking Carpet.
So yeah, Walking Carpet.
It's so good.
Okay.
And Walking Red.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
Trevor hosts the Walking Dead podcast. Yeah, Walking Red.
Because I have a
ginger
beard.
Is it Walking Red podcast?
Yeah, Walking Red.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to get it all right, so.
Oh, I missed that.
You didn't see that? It was purpose. Like,
oh, I
the
saw
zombies,
it. You thought you were hilarious.
I thought I was.
I do remember a bunch of Hobbs, and I don't remember
talk.
Anything
They'd just be a boring show. All you hear is, wah, over and over again.
Wah, wah, wah.
I thought you were drunk.
I thought I was being funny. Nobody laughed yet.
Interviewing just the zombies.
You just hear your internal laugh track going the entire time.
As I was typing it, I even typed, like, a bunch of ha-has over and over again. I thought it was really funny.
Joker! All right. Anything else we want to talk about just before we... I mean, just to organize before we get in?
What's your name again? I'm horrible with names.
Trevor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
What's your name again, Josiah?
Josiah.
Scott.
No! No Scott's allowed!
He will fuck
you
this up.
You can't be on the show anymore.
He will fuck this up.
Okay, I'm bad with names. Yeah. All right. Jeff, let's do this.